To the brightest audience in the nation, welcome to the cool, smooth, mellow sounds of Bob Enyart Live here on a Monday. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church and the nation's most effective self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney, member of Denver Bible Church and currently the victim of an insidious bacterial infection in the back of my throat. So I'm working to preserve the pipes this week. So just bear with me as we go forward together in the smooth, cool, mellow tones. Here on AM 670, the 50,000-watt Christian blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West, welcome to the broadcast. And I want to open just by reminding everyone that Bob is away. He's working on the Personhood Campaign Tracker, which... well, I've gotten to see a little bit of what's going on. It looks like a truly revolutionary grassroots campaigning device that will be useful not only for the Colorado Personhood Campaign as we march forward to victory in November, but also to personhood campaigns, pro-life campaigns, and other godly political efforts that go on in the future across the nation. So I want to thank Bob for taking the time the month of May to invest in the Personhood Campaign Tracker. If I'm not mistaken, the funds required for the Personhood Campaign Tracker are, I believe that Bob requires about $20,000 in order to do the programming and make it all happen. So if you wanted to donate to that effort, you could go to Colorado Right to Life and make a donation there. And just put in the notes field that you want to help fund the campaign tracker. If there's someone out there who could write a check for $20,000 today to Colorado Right to Life, you would be blessed throughout eternity to have funded the Personhood Campaign Tracker. By the way, none of that money goes to Bob. That's why I'm asking you to make the contribution to Colorado Right to Life so that the Personhood Campaign Tracker can be developed. How much do we need? Do we know how much we need? Let's assume we still need the whole 20 grand. These things inevitably come in over budget. So Bob is away working on the Personhood Campaign Tracker. He will be returning to the airwaves in the month of June. I'll be with you for today and tomorrow and Wednesday. Lord willing that the pipes don't just totally give out. So please pray for Bob. And if at all possible, go to Colorado Right to Life and make a donation of $20,000 or less for the Personhood Campaign Tracker. I know if I had 20 grand to spare, that I would seek an eternal blessing by funding the Personhood Campaign Tracker. And so I know there's someone in the audience out there who has $20,000 or $2,000 or $1,000 or $10. Just go to Colorado Right to Life and make a donation. All right, now... I want to start, why is Bob working on the campaign tracker? Well, because the Personhood Campaign is not a political campaign. Now, it is being presented politically in a political forum, the election of 2010. People will have an opportunity to vote on it as they are alone in the voting booth. They will be confronted with a question that at once acknowledges our Creator and the Judge of all the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and confronts people with the truth about the killing of innocent people in our midst. And Psalm 10 says, oh, that's right. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would not tolerate anyone who would ever dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered Psalm 10 in the 15th verse says, "Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness, Lord, until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? All right. So, the work on the campaign tracker continues. The work on the personhood campaign continues. We're looking toward a June 1st official launch of the campaign in earnest. So stay tuned to Bob Inyart Live for all the details. All right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about justice today. There's an awful lot of talk in the air about justice, about Supreme Court justices, and about Supreme Court nominees. And let's talk a little bit about justice. Because one thing I'm so thankful for in my life is to have stumbled across Bob Inyart about 15 years ago and found out that here's a Christian guy. At the time, I was a heathen. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I was raised in a Christian household, but let's just say I wandered from the straight and narrow path by a pretty wide margin for a considerable period of time until I stumbled across this Christian who shared my same views on justice. Now, even though I was something of a criminal myself, I did have some what seemed to me to be instinctive ideas about justice. Ideas about justice that seemed to be programmed into my very DNA. And here was a Christian on television and radio who was espousing these ideas about justice that I couldn't help but agree with. And it made me reconsider the Christian religion. You see, I had been shopping around for Christianity, and I had been listening to preachers and pastors on a radio and television and even darkening the door of a church here and there. And all I heard was a feminized gospel about a Jesus who loves and forgives everyone and how we must forgive everyone and love everyone, and it was just all love and love, and then some money here and there, but then a lot of love, and then a little bit more money and love. And I just wasn't buying into any of that. So I stumble across this guy who's talking about justice, and I re-examined Christianity by setting aside the people who preached about Jesus and taking the advice of this late-night talk show host to actually find out what Jesus himself said, to look into his book. And in doing so, I realized that I had misunderstood Christianity, that it wasn't a feminized gospel, that Jesus Christ was a man and a manly man at that, and that God was a God of justice. So let's go to Detroit, Michigan. A story from the Associated Press that hit the wires today. Ariana Jones is a 7-year-old girl. She was asleep in the living room sofa in her family's apartment when Detroit police, who were searching for a homicide suspect, burst into her home. An officer's gun went off, fatally striking 7-year-old Ariana Jones in the neck. Her father told the Detroit News that he had just gone to bed early Sunday after covering his daughter with her favorite blanket when he heard a flash grenade followed by a gunshot. When he rushed into the living room, he said police forced him to lie on the ground with his face in his daughter's blood. He's quoted as saying, "I'll never be the same. That's my only daughter." So this is the state of domestic tranquility in Detroit, Michigan. Nay, in America, today, you put your child to sleep, tuck her in under her favorite blanket. This story just shook me to my core when I read it this morning. You know, I have 3 daughters. And I have one who's 8 years old. And when I read this story, I really felt for this father, how he's now broken for life. He will never recover from this. He will never recover. And then I thought about the law enforcement officer. As best we can tell so far, the gun went off after the police officer entered the house forcefully and encountered a woman inside. There was some physical contact, and the gun went off. It was a tragic accident. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy. It was a tragic accident. Detroit police are simply overwhelmed. How many murders happen in Detroit every day, every week? You probably count them by the day or maybe by the hour in Detroit. The murders and the violence, the violent crimes in Detroit are probably logged by the minute or by the hour. Forget about how many every week or every month or every year. In Detroit, they log the violent crimes by the minute. And the Detroit police, here they were looking for a homicide suspect who was later arrested, thankfully. But what is happening in our nation that the police are so overwhelmed that they're having to respond to violent crimes by the minute in our major cities, minute by minute, to the point where simply going to sleep and tucking your daughter in Detroit is quite possibly a riskier endeavor than engaging terrorists in Baghdad or in Afghanistan. What's happening in our nation? Well, 15 years ago, when I stumbled across Bob Enyart Live on radio or television, I forget which, he talked about this crime epidemic, and the problem was tolerance. We as a nation have been convinced that we must tolerate a certain level of violence in our midst. And for some reason, we've bought into that. I think it comes down to pride in that people in the legal profession, judges, lawyers, people who run the prison industry, they're prideful in that they think that they can replace God's prescription for justice with their own. And so they've convinced all of us that we have to tolerate a certain level of violence, that we shouldn't be surprised that there's murder and bloodshed, and that the police in Detroit have to respond to violent crime on a minute-by-minute basis. We have to tolerate that. And I keep wondering to myself, how many more stories like this do we have to read before someone draws the line and says we simply cannot tolerate this any longer? I mean, I'm all for tolerance, a certain level of tolerance. But to tolerate this level of bloodshed, I think is beyond the pale. I cannot tolerate it any longer. I simply cannot. And so let's look at the courts briefly for just a moment. Today, the Supreme Court made a ruling that is to me, is schizophrenic. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And I think absurd might be a mathematical term. I forget. I should have looked this up before the show. This is an absurd ruling today from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court today ruled that federal officials can indefinitely hold inmates after their prison terms are complete. Did you get that? The court has ruled that we can keep people in prison after they've served their prison terms. To me, that seems completely scatological. It's outrageous. It's absurd. Isn't the definition of a prison sentence that it's a sentence and once you've completed it, you're released? Isn't it by definition? Maybe definitions aren't what they used to be. But you know what the problem is? And for anyone who has small children listening to the show, you may not want them to listen to this because unfortunately, in today's society, we are forced to discuss things that should only be discussed in the shadows and in private and in court. But we're forced to discuss them on the radio because they're not being discussed where they should be discussed. So this ruling from our Supreme Court holds that if inmates are considered sexually dangerous, they may be held apparently indefinitely via some civil action on the part of federal officials. And states, from what I understand, are already allowed to do this. What's happened is that the court has actually convinced itself that we all must tolerate sexual predators in our midst. That if a man is to assault and violate a child or a woman, that that man must be warehoused in a prison for a certain period of time and then released. And that is scatological and illogical. It doesn't make any sense. And see, in our hearts, we all know that. We know that if a man assaults and violates a child, we all know instinctively that that man should be put to death. Yeah, we know that. It's programmed into our DNA. Yes, just like that, programmed in by the Creator at that moment of creation, that moment of fertilization. We all know it. But for so long, we've been told we have to ignore what we know to be true and to do what we're told and tolerate violence, especially this sexual violence against women and children, that now even our own courts are forced to issue rulings that on their face are ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So how much longer are we going to tolerate this? How ridiculous and stupid do court rulings have to become before we realize that we've lost sight of any idea of justice? It's just ludicrous. And because the courts have told us, the courts and the lawyers and the prison industry have told us that we have to tolerate these violent criminals who should be put to death. Because of that, there's a level of violence in the nation that causes our police forces to be simply overwhelmed. They're investigating so many murders and chasing so many murderers that sometimes they break into the wrong house. And someone bumps in and it's dark and a gun goes off and now we've got a 7-year-old dead in Detroit and a father laying face down in his own daughter's blood. How much longer can we tolerate this? It's time for the church to stand up. Because it's the church that knows. We know. We have bothered to look into what our Creator has told us about justice, and we have the answers, church. It's time for us to stand up. It's time for pastors to stand up and say we won't tolerate this level of violence anymore. Will the church stand up? Well, the church is notorious for laying down. The church is notorious for laying down. Anyway, if you want to visit a church where you don't have to be ashamed of the fact that when you hear a story about a murderer who violently kidnaps and violates a child, and you have this desire to physically kill him with your own hands, if you don't want to be ashamed of that, come and visit Denver Bible Church. Because that urge that wells up inside you to grab someone who does something like this and to tear him apart limb from limb, it's a good thing. Now, it needs to be channeled properly, but it is, in essence, a message from God that you don't have to tolerate this level of violence. So wake up, church, and all you pastors out there, you have access to the book. You know that the Supreme Court and the police and the justice system, none of them are looking into the Bible. They have no clue. You pastors are the ones who have to stand up and give some guidance to these poor, uneducated, ignorant people who are trying to administer justice without a guidebook. They're trying to do it out of their own hearts and minds. How much violence and how much bloodshed will it take to break the pride of our courts and our lawyers? I think they would have to drown in it. I think. All right. Now, should I even discuss this Supreme Court nomination? I don't even know if I can discuss such a ridiculous, ludicrous nomination after talking about something so important. But, okay, so I'm just going to leave it aside because I just don't care. Let's see, do I want to talk about the First Lady and Bill Jeff Clinton talking at a... giving commencement addresses? I think I will, because I'll try to make an important point here. By the way, if you want to call the broadcast, if you disagree with anything I'm saying, if you agree with me, please don't call. Please just go to your church and ask your pastor to write up a sermon on justice. Just have him look into it. But if you disagree, feel free to give me a call at 1-800-8-369-278. That's the number to call if you disagree and if you think I'm going too far. The number is 1-800-8-369-278. All right. Now let's go to Washington. First Lady Michelle Obama gave the commencement address at George Washington University this past Sunday. And her message was, keep giving, keep engaging. Here's what she had to say to the graduating unwashed masses there at GWU. She said, I have one more request to make of you, one more challenge. She said, keep going, keep giving, keep engaging. So many of today's challenges are borderless, from the economy to terrorism to climate change. More than any other generation, yours is fully convinced that you're uniquely equipped to solve these challenges. At which point, someone in the audience must have turned to someone on their right or left and said, what is she talking about? What is she saying? It's all meaningless drivel. During the ceremony, George Washington University presented the president, Stephen Knapp, presented Michelle Obama with an honorary Doctor of Public Service degree. More drivel. To end a ceremony filled with drivel. And now let's move to Morgantown, West Virginia. Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton, former president of the United States, gave the commencement address Sunday at West Virginia University. And here's what Bubba Bill Jeff had to say to this generation. He said to the gathered masses there, he said, change. I can't do his voice. I just can't do it. I used to do a pretty good Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton, but he said, change. I just can't do it. Anyway, I just can't do it today, folks. All right. He said, change falls unevenly in our country and in our world. And for all of its benefits, the time you live in is highly unstable and unequal and unsustainable. Those were the words of wisdom from Bubba Bill Jeff to the graduates there at West Virginia University. He said, today, we also have to do what we can as private citizens to tackle public problems and advance the public good. And then he had the temerity to expose his shallow intellect and his utterly shallow understanding of human history to say this. In previous generations, said Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton, he said, in previous generations, young people needed only to get an education, land a job, pay taxes, and vote intelligently to be a good citizen. That's what Bubba Bill Jeff said was required in previous generations. As if the challenges facing this generation are so overwhelming as to not even compare to the petty considerations of past generations who came before you, O greatest generation, graduates of 2010. Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton at West Virginia University. So let me juxtapose Bubba Bill Jeff's words with this story. Bubba Bill Jeff's words, by the way, implying that this generation faces challenges greater than any generation before them. And then telling them that it's all unsustainable. Anyway. From Newport Beach, California, Walker Bud Mahurin, a fighter pilot who shot down 24 planes in two wars and was regarded as one of America's top aces ever, died at the age of 91. at his home in Newport Beach this past Tuesday. Now, Bud Mahirin was the only Air Force pilot to shoot down enemy aircraft in the European theater and the Pacific theater during World War II, and then in Korea. He was known as a very courageous, skilled, and tenacious fighter pilot, and he did not possess either an iPad or an iPod or an iPhone. And the challenges that he faced may have been fairly minor compared to the unsustainable, unequal, and unstable challenges faced by the current crop of graduates there at West Virginia University or any university USA. But let's just look into the challenges that Bud's generation faced. Mahirin was shot down himself twice during World War II and once during the Korean War, which led to his capture and 16 months in a North Korean prison camp. Bud Mahirin was a native of Benton Harbor, Michigan. He studied engineering at Purdue University and then joined the Army Air Forces in September 1941, 3 months before Pearl Harbor. He shot down his first pair of German planes in August of 43. By October, he had scored 5 victories. He was an ace. He doubled that in less than a year, making him the first double ace in Europe. In March of 44, he had to bail out, and the French resistance helped get him back to England. So his knowledge of the French resistance made his potential capture in Europe too dangerous, so he was grounded. But he flew again in the Philippines and finished the war with over 20 aerial victories. His later service in the Korean War brought his total number of kills to 24. Along with his wife of 40 years, Joan, Mahirin is survived by 2 sons, a daughter, and a stepdaughter. Mahirin will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery on August 11th with full military honors. Neither Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton or First Lady Michelle Obama are invited. But I want to invite you to go to KGOV.com and make a donation to keep Bob Enyart live on the air. Go to Colorado Right to Life and donate to the Personhood Campaign Tracker and Maranatha Christian School in Arvada, Colorado. What a great Christian school. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, God bless.